your word that you have given us. Your word, Father, that we believe is prepared through the anointing and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray, Lord, that again the seed of your word will be sown deep within our hearts, not just in our minds, not just the intellect, but Father, in the heart. For Lord, you've said in the last days that you will teach man in the heart, because you promise that you will put a new spirit within him. You will put your laws within him, and you will cause him to walk in your ways. And Lord, in these last days, we're now being taught by revelation, illumination. And so, Father, we praise you for this, and we thank you now for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, tonight I want to speak about our confession. We've had a lot of teaching over the years about confession, but what I believe the Holy Spirit gave tonight for our title is holding onto our confession in the midst of persecution. Holding on to our confession in the midst of persecution. We could also say in the midst of trial. For indeed, if we confess Christ and we receive him as our Saviour, our faith is going to be tested. We are going to be tried. And the reason is that God looks to see that we're going to continue to confess against all odds. We're going to continue to confess when we don't feel as though we're Christian. We're going to continue to confess when it seems as though everything is against me. We're going to continue to confess when maybe I have missed the mark, the goal, or I have sinned. Are we going to still continue to confess? And that is the point. Because that is where true confession is. Now, we've talked much over the years about confession, and we have revealed much in Scripture about holding our confession. Where it's told in Scripture, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you think is the sum totals. If you are thinking resentment, anger, bitterness, then that is you. And that is what is going to come out. Whatever is a problem in our hearts, that is eventually going to come out. It's going to come out in our confession. We're going to confess it. And the point is, when it's there, are we going to confess what we feel, what is in our hearts, what is my problem, or are we going to look to the Word of God and allow that to dominate over those negative confessions? Now, to say you are not going to make a negative confession, well, it's like trying to say you are never going to sin anymore. Unfortunately, there are going to be times when we're going to sin. We're going to fall short of the high calling, the mark. But thank God for his grace, his mercy, the blood of Christ that deals with sin. And so it is the same with our confession. There are going to be times when our confession doesn't line up with the Word of God. And the reason that it doesn't line up is because we're going through a trial, or God is exposing areas of unbelief in our hearts. Now, if you look at this in faith, if you look at this in the light of staying with whatever you're going through, whatever is happening, then you're going to rejoice in this. You're even going to rejoice when you're hearing something's coming out of your mouth that doesn't even line up with the Word of God. You're going to rejoice because it's being exposed in order for God to deal with it. That is the love and mercy of God. And we have two choices in our exposures. We can either gripe and moan and say, this doesn't work. Look at my life. It is a mess. Or we can say, God is in my life. Yes, there is a mess, but he's exposing it because I have to see it in order to confess it and get it under the blood of Jesus for him to work in my life. You can either look at this in a negative or in a positive. Now, the powers of darkness are always going to get you to look at your exposures, your failures, in a negative light. That is Satan's work. That is why he wars against us. Because he is negative, he knows he has missed it, he knows where he's going, and those demons, they are going into an eternal abyss, hell. And so that is where he wants you to go. If he can get you on the road path to hell, he is laughing because he's rebelling against God. So we have a choice. And we can decide in our trials, in our tests, because we're going to have them, to think that we're Christian and we're not going to have our trials and tests is delusional. But the point is God going to forsake us in our trials and in our tests? Is he still going to forsake us when we hear that unbelief and that negative coming out? Well, no, he isn't. Because he's actually honed in to try and get your attention. What is it you're still believing? You're still confessing it. You're still believing it. But the point is, he wants to get that under the blood of Christ. He wants you to get that confessing it as sin and dealing with it. Now, we can only confess, we can only really deal with sin in our lives if we're prepared to bow our knees and admit that we have a problem. And to confess that problem. To admit in the sense that we don't make excuses. There is a lot of confession today that comes out of Christians' mouths where they're confessing, but it's a confession of which they are excusing themselves. Well, I'm like this, Father, because my father was like this. Or I'm like this because I can remember my great-grandmother. She also used to have this problem. Or I'm like this because of my past life where I was abused and misused or so forth. Maybe all of that is true. But the point is, we are using that to excuse as to why our behaviour is like it is. That was the problem that Adam and Eve made before God. They made an excuse. And that is why man fell into sin. But when we're honest before God, and we say, no, Lord, I have done this, I have fallen short, I have done this against you and nobody else. Please help me. Please forgive me. Please have mercy over my life. Now, I believe every loving Father, and certainly our Heavenly Father, will never turn a deaf ear to a confession like that. Because you have taken the responsibility for what you have done. You have not tried to blame anything or anyone else. You have faced it like a man or a woman, and I can tell you, God will deal with that. And he will wipe that away as far as the east is to the west, and he will work healing and deliverance and salvation into your life. That is now what he's looking for. That is the confession he's looking for now amongst Christendom and churches. God is fed up with excuses, and man is a master at cunning and raising up excuses. It's remarkable where he can find them from. You virtually don't have to work at it. We all can make excuses. King David, when he sinned and sinned badly before God, most of us will not have done actually what he did, and that is that he even had blood on his hands, murder as well, in his sin. Yet when his eyes were open to that sin and to his confession, he admitted before God, I and only I only have sinned before you. He never explained his weakness or never tried to excuse that he was there at the right time, at the right place, and it just happened so be that his eyes caught, his eyes began to look on a beautiful woman. The next thing, he committed adultery. He never tried to excuse any of that. He admitted the guilt, the problem that lied in his heart. I'm labouring this because this is very important in holding on to our confession in the midst of persecution. Because I believe that the church in the West is moving rapidly toward persecution. The days are numbered now when our belief, our walk with God, is going to cost us. Our freedom is gradually being eroded by laws being brought in by Brussels, the New Age world movement that now is coming in, one world religion, religious tolerance, and all this that's going on. Our freedom is gradually being eroded. And I can tell you that the powers of darkness are not going to like what we confess, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except him, by him or through him. That is going to cost us to confess that. But praise God, what will be our confession? That is the question. Will our confession wax bolder and stronger, or will our confession begin to compromise under the pressures? That's going to be the question. You see, there's much more to positive confession. And you had a lot of teaching about positive confession. And I'm all for you confessing the promises of God, confessing what God says over your life, even when you've missed it. It is important to confess those promises, to confess the word of God, because very often we're speaking to the powers of darkness that are trying to bring us down. But there is much more to this. You see, it may well be our confession of faith, it's going to cost us. For you to confess your faith, you may find that may just cost your job. To confess what you believe. And we're hearing stories of where that's happening. Well, let's look at something very familiar that we know about our confession in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. In Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, verses 8 to 13. Verses 8 to 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's interesting in this, which I've just read. For it says back in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So firstly, before you can confess, the heart has to be moved. The heart has to be changed. The heart has to be worked upon. That is why you have to be born again, to have a new heart. In other words, that stony heart removed and a heart of flesh put there. That is what that means. So it means that if the heart believes, i.e. faith, and your faith believes that you have been made righteous in God's sight, so then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So your salvation is very dependent upon what you confess. Christian faith doesn't lie alone just with the heart believing unto righteousness. If the heart has been affected, if the heart has been changed, you cannot help but confess what is there. Because whatever is in your heart, you are going to confess it. If fear, resentment, anger is in the heart, you are eventually going to confess it. If you are feeling hungry, eventually you are going to confess it. So if our hearts have been made righteous, a confession has to come out of our mouth. I am a believer. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I am born again. And so on. You can't help but confess that. Because that is what has happened in your heart. That is your experience. Whatever you confess is ultimately, in a sense, your experience. What is going on? So, confession is very, very important. And the word salvation here is that Greek word sozo, which means wholeness in mind, body, spirit. That is salvation. It is a whole and complete work that God does in you. Of course, he works first on your heart. And as he works on your heart, and as you begin to receive and read these promises of God's word, so then you see God beginning to work on the whole being, even in this life. Now, many Christians in their unbelief just believe that they're going to get healed or delivered when they get into eternity, into glory, little realizing that actually God wants to start healing and restoring you now in this life. Because see, some Christians just don't see it. You've got most churches that recite the Lord's Prayer every week, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, why pray that if you don't want some of it to be done on the earth as it is in heaven? What is the point? And yet they pray that each week. Why is that? It's because of unbelief. They don't see that their salvation is a completed work in mind, body, and spirit. That is what Christ achieved for us. And so what it reads here is that Christ is imputed his righteousness unto you and I. You aren't righteous. You have fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ has said, "I am righteous." He was that sinless offering, that sinless lamb offered. And therefore, because he's righteous and is accepted by the Father, therefore the Father said, "I will accept anything you receive unto yourself, I will accept it as well." And so whatever God sees in Christ, he sees you. And the reason that he sees you and I is because you have been made righteous. It has been imputed to you. He has declared you righteous, without sin, faultless before the throne of God. That is the mercy of God. Now you can choose on the basis of believing that or refusing that. Because that's what it is. Now, if you believe that in your heart, against all odds, against what you're going through, or what your life has been, you may be saying to me tonight, "Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what my life is like and everything." Okay, fine. But that still doesn't affect your confession, your belief. And that is the point. You have a choice in what to believe. I believe God loves me. I believe he loves me so much that he has made me right. He has dealt with my sin. He has made me right before the Father. I choose to believe that. And I'm going to have that as my confession. Whatever I feel, whatever I'm going through, whatever sin is in my life, I choose to believe that. And I will walk that by the grace of God. Amen. That is the Christian faith. Do you want feelings? They ain't always going to be there. Do you want a flash of light from heaven to shine down on you? Doubt it will happen. Do you want to be slayed in the spirit and get up feeling you're saved? Doubt it will happen. Why? Because it's on the basis of faith. Choosing to believe. Now Satan doesn't want you to believe that. He doesn't want you to believe that good news. But that is it. It is holding out our confession in the midst of whatever we feel. And we are going to face persecution. It also says in the same chapter in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you getting faith? How are you getting it tonight? You're getting it by hearing it. That's how it's coming. And that is rhema to us. The word of God is rhema. You don't need a rhema to believe. The word of God is rhema. That is how faith comes. You've got Christians today who are saying, well, you can't believe any of these promises unless you get a revelation, unless you get a rhema on it. Hogwash. The word of God is rhema. The word of God is revelation. And it is the Holy Spirit is the one who illumines our minds and imparts it to us. He is our teacher, ultimately. So, to go through persecution, and I believe the church again will go through persecution. What does it say in Matthew 5 verses 11 to 12? Then, for those who go through persecution. Because some tonight may be listening to this and saying, oh gosh, I don't want to go through this. My goodness, do you mean to say that we're going to go through some persecution, whatever? Well, listen to what Jesus says about this then. In Matthew 5, verses 11 to 12. Matthew 5, 11 to 12. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you. There you are. So there's your confession again. Right in the midst of persecution, what is that confession? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, I don't think you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad unless you're also saying something about it. Amen? Yeah. I'm naive. To be exceedingly glad, to rejoice in persecution, means you are confessing that. You are rejoicing in that. It is a privilege to go through persecution. Do you know why this is? Because so often persecution causes us to wax bolder. That is why. Because God has got to work out of us, out of our system, out of our heart, where we're not ashamed of the gospel. For it is salvation unto those who believe. And we should be proud of the gospel. We should be boasting of the gospel. And the more they try to shut us up, the more we will speak out and be bolder, just like the early Christians were. Because that is lacking, particularly in the Western church. The moment the devil growls, we run a mile. And that's all the devil can do, is growl. No, God has got to work on our confession. He's got to rid this compromise that is so paralyzing the church. So much of the church is Laodicean. It's neither hot nor cold. And that is why God delays his coming. Because he doesn't want to spew Christians out of his mouth, which he says he does with that church. He either wants you cold or hot. You can't be in between. And that again is why God sometimes permits persecution. And so, there we are. Jesus says to count it all joy. What does it say in verse 44 of that same chapter? He doesn't actually stop there. He says also in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There you are. So those who are doing all of this, he says, you pray for them. Do good for them. Treat them well, even though they may be persecuting you. That is what we're to do. And only God can work that. And you know, if persecution is coming, and I believe it is, then quite frankly, I reckon it's a good sign. Do you know why I reckon it's a good sign? Because the church now is starting to become a threat to the powers of darkness. And often persecution is actually a good sign. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is, if you wish to live a godly life. That's the point. He says, you will suffer persecution. The persecution very often comes because of our confession, our belief, our consecration. People listen to what we say. There's probably people listening tonight. Maybe the enemy is listening tonight, even on the internet, to what this is being, what is being said. Well, praise God. Let us wax bolder. We have nothing to be ashamed of. For it is our confession unto salvation. And that is why we hold on to these promises of God. Let's look to also to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. So there we are. Again, Peter makes it absolutely clear about the believer's persecution. He says, don't think it strange. And yet the Western Church does think it strange. As though it's to come and try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Here again he says, but rejoice to the extent that you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. So this rejoicing also is our confession. What we're confessing in the midst of trial. And that confession in trial and testing is going to be heard. And it is very powerful when people can see that so much is against believers, obstacles against them, and yet listen to what they're saying. It is very powerful. And that is why the devil tries to mute us, tries to, get us not to confess. He's trying to gag us spiritually. But persecution is going to remove those gags in Jesus' name. You mark my words. Why? That when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. And here it is. If you reproach for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And that has got to come back to the church. Is his glory rests upon us. His Spirit, his glory. That is where I believe the greater works will be. So is it got to take persecution for that to happen? That is the question. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. So he's glorified in the church being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And that's why we mustn't be ashamed of the gospel. Allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to wax bolder. You see, that is the question. I can preach this, or we can listen to this tonight, and we can do two things. We can either receive this by faith, or we can receive this in fear, a tormenting fear. And that fear will cause us to compromise and eventually to run away. That is what it will do. And so you see, as we hear the Word of God, and as the Word of God exposes us, and maybe some tonight are actually finding, as they're listening to this, that they're battling with fear. A fear is manifesting. Well, praise God, if fear is manifesting, there is a reason for that. And therefore, you can confess that, you can bring that out before God as sin, and God will deal with it. He will deliver you from it. That is the very purpose why he exposes. This is why the Word of God under the anointing is to expose these things in our lives. So that we don't make excuses, but that we bring it out into the light and let God deal with it. And he will, because he loves us. All the promises of God reveals this to us if we confess our sins. That is the whole point. Otherwise, what would be the point of God exposing these things in our life if it's to torment us and to cause us to be confused or run away or whatever it would be? We indeed can run away, but I always raise that question, where can you run to? Is the grass greener on the other side? No, it ain't. Wherever you're going to run to, you're going to take it with you, whatever your problems are. So why not run to the Lord and leave it there at the foot of the cross and let him deal with it, which he will do and wants to do. Sometimes the problem is that these problems in our lives are not dealt with because we, for a while, we run to the Lord, we put it at the feet of the cross, the foot of the cross, only after a while to take it up and go again. And we wonder why nothing happens. When you leave anything at the foot of the cross, it's left there to be dealt with, for not for you or I to eventually go back and take it again and hold it to ourselves. That is the point. And God will do this. He will do this. And this is why God is testing our confession. God is going to test your confession after listening to this message tonight. You may find after listening to this message, you might find that your confession for a season has taken a turning for the worse. That might happen. Well, praise God, that's actually a good sign. You may find yourself, hey, I've listened to this teaching tonight, but my confession over the last week has been absolutely appalling. I can't believe what's coming out of my mouth. Well, praise God. That's a result of listening to a word like this. Because God is going to start to deal with it. Because God wants the Christian's confession to line up with the Word of God. When it lines up with his Word, it's lining up with his promises. And all his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And these promises are so powerful when confessed by faith. Against the powers of darkness, against unbelief, against Christians who compromise and so on. Our confession is powerful. For as a man confesses in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of your confession. That is why the battle that's going on is in man's mind. The battle tonight, whether it's in this place or those listening on the internet, is in your mind. That is where Satan tries to work. Now that battle may be real. There may be confusion going on right now in your mind. But I tell you what, he can't get to your spirit, to your heart, if that's made new. He can't touch that. And even though you might be going through a battle, all I say is you stay in there, just keep confessing, keep with God, and you'll get through. You'll come through. Because God is working a deliverance. Sometimes those battles in your mind is because God is now dealing with things in your mind. And what is he doing? He's causing doors to close. See, many, 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 many doors have been opened up in our minds through sin, through ancestral holes, through rebellion. And so what is the Holy Spirit beginning to do now? Through healing, he's beginning to close those doors. That's what he's doing. But those doors, it can only be one at a time. We wish it was all closed at once, but it's not. And God knows in his sovereignty the right time to close that door to depression, to close that door to fear, to close that door to lust, whatever it would be. He is closing those doors. And how is he doing it? He's doing it as you hear the word of God. The deliverance to your life, my life, is in this word. We don't always need to lay hands on people. The word of God, which is that two-edged sword, is going to set deliverance, healing into your life. If you want it. If you're open to it. And where you found you're battling with your confession, suddenly your confession is lining up with the word of God. Praise God, I'm delivered. Hallelujah, this is my confession. And your confession's there. Bang up, lining with the word of God. Because it's now your experience. But until then, sometimes our confession is a sacrifice. Sometimes to confess when you just feel so depressed or angry or resentful, sometimes we're sadly even angry against God. And to keep a positive confession, well, it's almost impossible. But we can. And the point I always say is, just stay with it. Just keep with it. Keep listening to the word. Keep coming to the meetings. And God will work. There are times when I don't feel like going to a meeting. There are times when I don't feel like preaching the word. I wish somebody else would. But that's got nothing to do with it. The point is, we keep with it. And the grace is there. The strength will be there. God will just do it. And often you find when you get to the word of God, or you to listen to a meeting, or you listen to the word, you think, what a blessing. How Satan tries to keep me out. You know? That is our battle. I'm not saying that these battles are not real. They can be very, very real. But the point is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you see, he that's in you has overcome all things. He's overcome all weaknesses. He's overcome all your weaknesses. And so as we decrease, he increases, so his power is made perfect in weakness. And that is what he's doing. And that is how he sets that deliverance in your life and my life. Your deliverance, your changes, is as a result of Christ who has overcome, who lives in you. Because that problem that you were going through is not God's problem. And therefore, because he's living in you, he's saying that isn't my problem. Therefore, because it's not my problem, I'm going to start working with you, so it ain't going to be your problem either. And that is the love of God, is it not? That is his mercy. That is his grace. That is his love, to change these lives, to turn these lives around, so that we can walk a total faith walk, because that is what he's wanting to do. And this is why God deals with our faith. He deals with unbelief. And we still have much unbelief. We're still looking to the arm of the flesh for answers. We're still looking to man. We're still listening to what man says. But if we stay with this, it's going to be a complete and utter deliverance. And he'll remove all of Egypt out of our hearts if we want to. But any area of Egypt that's still there in our hearts, I can guarantee it'll come out eventually in your confession. Because it was with the children of Israel. God was trying to get Egypt out of their hearts. And that's why it took 40 years. And at the end of 40 years, what was their confession? Wish to God that we were back in Egypt. That's what they confessed. And God said, right, I can't do any more with you. My spirit will not always wrestle with man. You can have you what you confess, and you can have it. And they perished in the wilderness. Is that going to be your life? Is that going to be your confession? Or are you going to call upon the mercy of God? Lord, whatever it takes, please work with my confession. Well, to get some of us to confess our confession, lining up with the Word of God, it may just have to take persecution as well. That is the wisdom and mind of God. And so, God is on the throne, is he not? Amen. He is sovereign. And he wants you and I to get it right. Because it's all about his glory. It's all about him being glorified through you, through the church. It's all about your testimony of how God has changed your life, how he's turned you around, how he's delivered you from those things that your family and people know that you've been held by in the past. And they will have to acknowledge and admit that is God at work in that person. You know? But don't go by feelings. Don't go by circumstances. Just settle it that my life changes now, that God is now going to be in my life. And my confession is going to line up with God's work as he works with me and as he deals with me. See, God isn't going to give up on you if you don't want him to. If you want God to preserve you and keep you and never to let you go, and if that's the desire of your heart and you confess that before him, then I can assure you he's not going to let you go. But he's going to work with you. He's going to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He's going to work and work and work and work and work with us. And there are times when you just feel, oh, I cannot take any more of this. But God isn't going to listen to that. He'll continue to work. Why? For we're the clay, he is the potter. And the potter is moulding you and me. And part of that moulding and perfecting work is also getting your confession to line up with the Word of God. And the only way that that is going to happen is for you to hear it under trial, under test, to actually know what is in your heart and to hear that confession. And when you hear it coming out, when you hear yourself confessing that unbelief, those things that Satan's trying to say to you, then if you're open before God, you can bring that out in the light and bring it under the blood of Jesus and repent of that and ask God to change that confession. He will do it. He will do it. God will not turn his back on us. He's doing a work with us now, a perfecting work, such a deep work. He that's begun this work will complete and finish it at the day of the Lord. That is our confession. He's working perfection in you and I, so that we're like our Heavenly Father. Now, of course, in the natural, that might appear impossible. But what is this perfection? Is it a perfection of how you look, how you dress, what sort of job you have, or whatever it is? No, it isn't. It's a perfection of heart, of attitude, of motive. That's what he's working. He's working a perfect heart in you, a heart like David. When God saw David, he said, he has a heart after me. And yet, look what David did. And God knew what he was going to do, yet God's confession over David didn't alter or change. What was God revealing? That David had a heart to confess when he had missed it. And he missed it badly at times. But he never tried to cover it up. Too many Christians try to cover it up. Try to blame something or someone else. And God isn't going to have it. No, that has to change. Because as that changes, as your heart changes, so your confession is going to change. But maybe to get some things that God wants out of our confession, it may have to take the church going through persecution. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again tonight. We thank you, Lord, you know how to speak into our lives, into our hearts. You know us more than we know ourselves. But Father, There are times when we don't always confess right as we should. Our confession is negative. At times we confess what the enemy is suggesting to us instead of what the Word of God says. Lord, have mercy over us. Please, Father, help us. Lord, in our weakness, make us strong. And Lord, as you work on our confession, help us not to look to other means to excuse ourselves. Father, if there's a wrong confession, it's there for a reason. It's sin, and I have fallen short. And so, Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Father, that you love us so much that you give us the truth, that you don't want us to believe a lie in these last days. Father, I believe that those whom you love, you chasten, you rebuke at times. You even chastise us. It's a sign that you love us because you don't want us to be illegitimate. And so, Lord, we are your Father, and we have your Spirit who teaches us, who guides us, who leads us, who preserves us. And we truly thank you, Father, for this from our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless, preserve all those, Father, not only in this place here, but all those on the internet, around the world. Lord, preserve and keep them. Give your traveling mercies over them. Keep them from the evil one and from temptation, we ask, in Jesus' name.